Hey, how many of you guys appreciate the sound people back there? Give them a hand. Tell you what, that's a very important job, and sometimes it kind of goes unnoticed. The sound and the PowerPoint. I remember when I was planting a church, and there were only four of us, and sometimes there were only four of us, and we were just starting it from nothing. I remember I would preach, and Pastor Dan Bosworth, he would run the audio equipment, and Kathy was the congregation, and Pastor Anita, she did the PowerPoint, and she would get so into the sermon that she just gets stuck on that PowerPoint. These guys do a great job back here. Listen, I'm gonna get into this because this is an important part of the armor. Okay, we're talking about the armor of God, and we've been talking about it all week, and this morning we're going to wrap it up, and I want you to go ahead and go to that first slide again. You know, I told you the reason I show this every day. Sometimes you have somebody for the first time here, but even if I've been here every day, this is just an important reminder of the war. I found out something yesterday. My sister Susan, right here, her dad actually stormed Normandy in this attack and was wounded. Got a Purple Heart at Normandy. Wow. You just never know, do you? And he survived. I say, or she wouldn't be here if he hadn't. So I say, praise the Lord. But General Eisenhower wrote this to the troops, a letter to encourage them. But he also wanted to end up with just to wake them up about what they were getting ready to face. As I think I said this yesterday, I was reminded the Germans were hardened fighters. They had been in war for about 3 years, maybe four. And these troops of ours, they were hitting this beach for their first time, most of them. This was their first actual warfare. And so General Eisenhower wrote, "Your task will not be an easy one. Your enemy is well-trained, well-equipped, and battle-hardened. He will fight savagely." Let's go to our scripture. And so this is what Paul wrote. And today we're going to conclude this final statement. And it's important, if we look at what we've looked at all week, and I'll be sharing again how this runs all the way through Ephesians. Ephesians is full of what each piece of the armor is dealing with, from chapter 1 through chapter 6. And Paul felt it important, through the power of the Holy Spirit. Actually, it was the Holy Spirit that felt it was important, and he used Paul to write it, that he ends the letter this way. Because Paul also wanted us to be aware of the battle that we're going to fight in life. That this is not, we're not going on a picnic. We're in a war. And I, and as a pastor all those years, and as an evangelist, I've always said, this is for keeps. You know, just like last night, I thought our youth pastor did a wonderful job just making it very simple, to the point, straight to the heart. And you know what? The bottom line is, you preach because eternity's at stake. And we that are saved, we want our families, our friends. I know I have a sermon called "Where There Is No Vision, the People Perish," from Proverbs 18. And that word vision means to see clearly. You know, you always think of something mystical. That word means to see clearly. See things as they really are. Because when there's no vision, the people perish. First of all, the church stops being the church. And then the people you love. And in that sermon, I always close with this. Your family, your friends, and your neighbors. You want to reach them for Christ? This is a war we're fighting. Satan doesn't want us to win this war. Let's read this, and this is his final statement to us about the things we're going to be facing. Read it with me. "Finally, be strong in the Lord and in his mighty power. Put on the full armor of God so that you can take your stand against the devil's schemes. For our struggle is not against flesh and blood, but against the rulers, against the authorities, against the powers of this dark world, and against the spiritual forces of evil in the heavenly realms. Therefore, put on the full armor of God, so that when the day of evil comes, you may be able to stand your ground. And after you have done everything to stand, stand firm then with the belt of truth buckled around your waist, with a breastplate of righteousness in place, and with your feet fitted with the readiness that comes from the gospel of peace. Go ahead and go to the next. And in addition to this, take up the shield of faith with which you can extinguish all of the flaming arrows of the evil one. Take the helmet of salvation and the sword of the Spirit, which is the word of God, and pray in the Spirit on all occasions with all kinds of prayers and requests. With this in mind, be alert and always keep on praying for all the Lord's people. I say amen. Amen. Paul now introduces what is the one weapon we have that is completely for offense. I suppose if you look at the Word of God, it's also for defense. Because when a Satan attacks, you can go to the Word of God. But in this case, as part of the armor, it's an offensive weapon. It is the sword of the Spirit, which is the Word of God. It appears in Ephesians so many times. Ephesians 1:13, it says, the gospel is the word of truth. Ephesians 3:5, God's mystery is revealed by the Spirit. And by the way, I know sometimes God speaks to me and I can feel it in my heart. But anytime I think I hear something from God, I use this. John Wesley said it very clearly when he was talking about the fact that we learn from tradition, we learn from experience, we learn from what we see, but yet everything has to match up to this. This is the bottom line. Ephesians 4:11 through 16 says, the word equips the church for maturity. You want to know how to grow and become? Get into the Word of God. Ephesians 5:26, Christ cleanses the church by the washing of the water with the Word. I say praise the Lord. The Word is the Spirit's instrument for the transformation and warfare. The sword is the only totally offensive weapon as part of the armor. And I'm going to be speaking about this in just a moment. If you are praying, if you have on the armor of God and you're a person, you have that shield of faith, here's the key to the Word of God. It will be applied with precision. If you're using the Word of God, I'll be talking about that in great detail in just a few moments. Roman soldiers carried a short sword. Go ahead and go forward through the armor and we'll get to the sword. The belt of truth, the breastplate of righteousness, the shoes of the gospel of peace, the shield of faith. Okay, the helmet of salvation, and the sword of the Spirit, which is the Word of God. The Roman soldiers, I know sometimes, you know, you see movies, and a lot of times you see those movies and they have those long swords that are in battles. That's not what this sword was. This sword is the gladius. It's 18 to 24 inches long. It was double-edged, just like the Word of God. It was double-edged. It was designed for close-quarter combat. It was used not for slashing, but for thrusting. Extremely effective in formation when you're fighting. The gladius would cut through armor. Wow. The gladius would expose weakness. It would drive back the enemies. When you use the gladius and they train constantly, it required skill, precision, and you had to be intentional about what you were doing. The gladius was considered the most feared weapon of its day. If you were to ask the enemy what was the most feared weapon that the Roman soldiers carried, it was the gladius. Because if you came into contact with the gladius, you were done. It was a powerful weapon. Now, the spiritual parallel, Paul says the Word of God is your precise, spirit-powered weapon. And it's for close combat spiritual warfare. This is not a long-range weapon. It is used when the enemy is up close, whispering his lies, tempting and accusing and confusing. This is the weapon we use. This is not a physical sword. It's a spiritual sword. It's empowered. Here's the key about the gladius. If you read what it says, it is the Word of God, but it's the sword of the Spirit. What makes the Word of God so precise and powerful is the Spirit of God. When you take this into battle against the enemy, it's not like any other book. This is totally different. This is a double-edged sword. The Spirit guides this. It goes to the very heart and soul of the matter. I say praise the Lord. This is the most important part of the armor, I want to say. But this, you know, every piece of the armor is important. You got to put on the whole armor of God. But this is a powerful weapon. Just like the gladius, this cuts right through deception. Satan starts lying, and listen, he's a masterful liar. I believe he brings things so close to the truth. You know, that's one thing I learned when I used to teach world religions. Even the Eastern religions, as crazy as some of their things are, because I'm going to tell you right now, reincarnation is pretty crazy. When I was in Vietnam, people were starving. They had rice, they had no meat, and yet there were water buffaloes every place. But they wouldn't eat the water buffaloes. The water buffaloes, their horns were painted different colors. Because that one there might be your great-grandma. And that one there might be your great-grandfather. And that one there might be your ex-wife. They absolutely believed that those water buffalo were reincarnated beings who at one time could have been their relatives, their ancestors. Listen to this. That's Hinduism. Now, Buddha, if you understand Buddhism, and I won't get into this too far, but I think this is important. Buddha, he was a Hindu on steroids. That's what Buddha was. See, the Hindus wanted to escape samsara. And that's this world. And the Hindus believe that this world is a cycle, reincarnation after birth, until you hit the perfect karma. When you hit the perfect karma, you escape samsara. And then you go to that world where we're all there with our 938 gods. Now Buddha, he came up with a way to get straight to karma without going through all that. He came up with a plan. And so if you do Buddhism, that's a Hindu with a plan of how to escape samsara quickly. I always thought it was funny. If you ask people about that red dot that they wear on their head, I've had people say, that means you're married. And all that means you're a virgin and you're not married yet. No, let me tell you what that is for the Hindu. That's the eye to the soul. That's the eye to the soul. They want to escape this world. And you know, and as you look at all of these religions, there's just a little grain of truth in what they believe. Just a tiny grain as you look. You know, eternity's forever. They're right. We need to escape this. You know what Buddha said? Well, this is my last part of this segue. Do you know what Buddha said was the worst part of our human existence? The most evil thing we have is our desires. He called desires, and I think this is a good name, dukkha. He said our desires are dukkha. And you know what? That's what gets us in trouble. That's what Satan uses against us. He deceives us. Our desires, our wants, our dreams. And he gets so close to the truth. What's great about the Gladius, or in this case, the Word of God, it cuts right through his deception. Wow. What a piece of the armor. It confronts temptation. When the enemy comes and tempts you, there again, he knows exactly what your desires are. He knows exactly how to tempt you. He will tempt you different than you, and you different than you, and you different than me, because he knows my desires. He sees what I'm going after. I say praise God that he gave us the sword of the Spirit, the Word of God. It confronts temptation head on with precision accuracy. The Word of God exposes lies. Now listen, you can't read this. Somebody in my family, well, I don't think my family will ever hear this, so I'll say this. My mama, and I love my mama. My mama used to, she's a Christian, but here's how sometimes she would read her Bible. She'd turn it over here and she'd go, that's what God wants to say to me today. And one day I got a phone call from my mom. And I forget which book she was reading in the Old Testament. She said, Rudy, she said, Nixon's guilty. I read it right there in the Bible. I opened it up and went down and it said, and they met their Watergate. Now, you can't read the Bible that way. Well, you can, but you never know what you're going to come up with. You know how many people I've heard say to me, that the Word of God has contradictions. One of the things I taught at the undergrad level, and I also taught this at the master's level at Ohio Christian University, was Bible study habits. How to study the Bible. How to really get the most out of understanding the Bible. And one thing I've learned is that if you pick and choose your scripture, you're going to find what looks like contradictions. But if you read the scripture in context and you understand what it's saying, there are no contradictions in the Word of God. The Word of God exposes lies and contradictions. This piece of the armor is powerful. I'll tell you what else it does. It declares truth. You've been preaching all week. Been talking about Jesus last night, our youth pastor, I'm telling you. Well, no, that was just a great service last night. The one tonight, I know the one the night before was great because I was preaching. No, I got to be careful. No, I'll tell you, I really enjoyed both Asbury and I really enjoyed KMBC last night. It's hard for me to call it KMBC. All those years I called it KMBI. And when Reverend Nyhoff, they didn't mention him last night, but he was the president of KMBI, and he stayed at my house a couple times. One thing I learned about Reverend Nyhoff from KMBI, that guy was a Cincinnati Reds fan. Oh, my goodness. He loved to watch the Cincinnati Reds. Listen, I think the music we've had this week from Tab, preaching from Corey, teaching, preaching, music, testimonies, we have been declaring the truth, and this has been our weapon. It advances the kingdom of God. I'm going to change gears here in just a moment, because when you were walking in, believe it or not, I was still doing research while I was standing here. I wanted to talk a little bit this morning about how the truth of God is not a blunt instrument. It is a precise, precision weapon. It's sharp. It's targeted. And God will intentionally apply it to the needed hand. I say praise the Lord. When Paul speaks about the sword of the Spirit, he's describing a weapon that was never meant to be swung wildly. You know, there are people who misuse this book. Where did they get that from? Well, go to Jesus in the wilderness. Satan misused the book. You can misuse this. You can swing this wildly. It was never meant to be swung that way. This is a precision weapon. Again, I say the Roman gladius was short, double-edged, and designed for close quarter accuracy, not reckless slashing. And that matters, that imagery. Precision, it's precision in the fact that it not only attacks the symptoms, and sometimes it doesn't even attack the symptoms, it goes straight to the root of the problem. Jesus didn't merely confront temptation, he confronted the lie beneath temptation. When Satan said, "Turn these stones to bread," Jesus didn't argue about the fact that he was hungry. He went straight to the core. You have to depend on God. Truth cuts through distraction, exposes what's actually at stake. I say, praise the Lord. You know one thing about this book? It's not vague. It's specific, it's targeted, and it's accurate. Anything I face, it's not vague. It's targeted and accurate. It's precision. I say, praise the Lord. The enemy rarely uses blatant falsehood, but he twists into almost, and I already said this once, almost stuff that looks like it's true. The Word of God answers with exactness. It's like a surgeon's scalpel. Did I say scalpel? Scalpel. Well, don't worry, I'm not the only one that got it wrong this week. But that was pretty much a mess right there. Truth works the same way. Just like a surgeon's scalpel. It exposes what is wrong. It removes what is harmful. It restores. You know what I love about this? You ever felt broken? You ever felt out of step a little bit? You just feel kind of like Wayne said he felt getting up in the morning as a 47-year-old. You know, you just feel the bones creaking. You just feel a little out of, and I'm talking spiritually, you just feel a little out of whack. It restores. It restores you back to where you ought to be. It restores what is broken. I say praise the Lord. Now, as I already said, but I want to explain it a little better. If you misuse the word, truth used without precision becomes harsh, damaging, and sometimes prideful. Truth used with precision is redemptive. I say praise the Lord. Okay, let me get back to my original notes. I just did that while I was standing here this morning. Just hang with me. There we go. God's word cuts and exposes motives. And what I love about this, it drives away the darkness. Corey said it well in his sermon this week. The darkness can't hang around when there's light. This drives away the darkness. You ever felt like you were in a darkness in your life? And I have. You just couldn't understand what's going on, and you just felt like the days were dark. You get into this and you pray with an honest, humble heart. It'll drive away the darkness. I say praise the Lord for the sword of the Spirit. I say praise the Lord for the Word of God. Hebrews 4:12 says it well. It is sharper. Now, the gladius was sharp and powerful, but what Hebrews says, this is sharper than any two-edged sword. The Word of God is the sharpest weapon you'll ever have. I say praise the Lord. What I like and love is that it confronts temptation. You know what else it does? And this is important. This will expose the lies about God's character. This will expose the lies. I've heard people say they think God is harsh. If God was actually as harsh as some people think, we would not have had a cross. We would not have redemption. We would not have reconciliation. We would not have a chance. Satan's primary strategy is especially telling lies about God and also telling lies about you. He loves to attack your identity. I want to make sure you understand what I mean by identity. It's my identity in Christ. I'm no longer what I used to be. That's gone. I love what the word says. It's cast as far as the east is from the west. It's thrown into the sea of forgetfulness. That's what happened to the old Joe. But now there's a new Joe. That old Joe was loud. I'm loud. But that old Joe had sin in his heart and in his soul, and he was guilty. And the blood of Jesus washed it all away. And the Word of God reveals the truth of God's character. He's holy, loving, faithful, just, and good. It tells the truth about who I am now in my identity through Christ. Here's what it says about your identity. Now, if you want something to be able to just stand up against the enemy's lies, this is what it says about your identity. You personally, and this is what it says about mine. You are justified. You are justified. Simple way that they used to say it, just as if you had never sinned. You are adopted. Hey, I'm adopted into the family of God. I used to be an alien. I used to be a stranger. Now I'm a son. I'm a child. He's my father. I say praise the Lord. That's truth. That's my identity. And you are secure in Christ. It brings clarity to confusion. I said this when I was talking about faith. The enemy thrives in the fog. He does. Because when there's fog of doubt and confusion, it blurs the lines. It distorts the priorities. It brings emotional chaos. The word is a lamp and a light. It restores focus and discernment. I say praise the Lord. I'll tell you something else the word does. It corrects false doctrine. Because Satan over the years, and he still is, counterfeits the truth. There have been people who come along who, listen, anytime somebody tells me, and I'll just use this one as an example. The first time I ran into the Mormons, I knew right away there was something wrong. Because they had a third book. There are no new books. Well, there are good books to read, but there are no new There are no new books. This is it. Satan counterfeits the truth. Satan counterfeits doctrine. I think one of the craziest beliefs of Mormons is when they say that God brought one of his wives to earth with him. And that Jesus is just one of his sons. And Jesus earned the right to be the one who was sacrificed? No. That's false. That's untrue. The sword, here's what the sword of God does. It tests teaching. It exposes error. It anchors you in sound doctrine. If you want to know the truth, right here. The sword of God, the word of God, you know what it is? It will set you free. I say, praise God. I'm glad for this part of the armor. Where Scripture is proclaimed and believed and obeyed, and you got to obey it, lies and darkness lose ground. When you use the Word of God and the Spirit is at work, it advances the kingdom. And I love this. It breaks strongholds. In my early days, and even today, but in my early days, Satan used to love to find some stronghold to get me into a bind. You know, he's a liar. But when you use the Word of God and you stand true on what it says, it will break the strongholds of Satan. Here's how the Word of God is portrayed. And I've already said this about a few of them, but this is what the Bible says about the Word of God. It's sharp. It's penetrating. It's powerful. It's effective. I say praise the Lord. In the New Testament, we see this written many times. I've already quoted part of this, but Hebrews 4:12 says the Word is living and active. Aren't you glad? This book is alive. This book knew exactly how to speak to my grandmother. This book knew exactly how to speak to my mother. They're both in heaven now. And this book knows how to exactly to speak to me. This book is alive. And you know what else it says in Hebrews? It's active. Now, if you just have a Bible and it's catching dust on the shelf, it's still active, but you have to utilize it. The Word of God has to be applied. Amen? But you can take this to the bank. When you're walking through life and you're in the battle called life, you've got a sword that's more powerful than any other tool the enemy might have. Any other tool. I say thank you, Lord. In Revelation 1:16, it said it is a sharp sword and it comes straight from the mouth of Christ. Comes straight from his heart. You remember when James said, what flows out tells you what's in here? Well, this flows out from the heart of Christ, folks. Matthew 4:1 says, Matthew 4:1-11, when he was in the wilderness, Jesus defeated Satan by using the Word of God. John 6:63, Jesus says that these words are spirit and life. I say thank you, Lord. The Word of God is, and here's the key, it's inspired. Now, I've heard people say that perhaps Max Lucado's book might be inspired. I'll just say this. God could have guided him in writing it, and certainly it can be inspiring, but you got to understand what the Greek is saying here. This is God-breathed. The same way God breathed breath into man, he breathes, I mean, not death into man, but life into man. And they became living beings. He breathed, this is God breathed, folks. This is different than anything else. This is it. It is inspired, it's God breathed. The Word is also authoritative. You're talking about authority? This is the final word. You talk about authority, this is it. There's no higher authority. There is none. Oh, but I read Dr. So-and-so's book. Well, fine. If it don't go along with this. See, anybody else's work is just speculation. It's effective. This accomplishes God's purposes. And I say, praise the Lord. It's empowered. This is empowered by the Spirit of God. That's why it's called the sword of the Spirit, which is the Word of God. Now let's go to application for today's believers. Go to the next page. If you want to take something home with you that you need to, just make sure that this is how you apply it to your life. Know the word. You cannot wield what you do not know. I'm not saying you have to memorize the word. Memorizing the word is pretty awesome. You remember Percy Trueblood? Percy Trueblood could quote this from Genesis to Revelation. I can't. Now, there are a lot of scriptures I can. Like I told you, my life chapter, it is. When I had my heart attack in 1999, Psalms 23. I love to be able to say with all of my soul that the Lord is my shepherd. He is. But you cannot will what you do not know. Make sure you're in the book. Speak the word. Declare scripture aloud in prayer. Make sure you speak the word when you're in warfare against the enemy. You will find out the word is powerful. When I used to walk around that lake, it was funny, not funny, but after I had my, it was a pretty major heart attack. And we had a lake right behind the hotel there in Johns Creek, Georgia, where we lived. And every morning I would go, I just loved to just walk around the lake as the sun rose, and it was just beautiful. But when I say Psalms 23 became my life verse, I mean, I walked and talked it every day. The Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. Wow. Even though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil, for you are with me. Wow. That's powerful stuff. So the enemy's attacking me and say, and he did. He attacked me crazily because I had left a church that was thriving. I mean, Eastview was thriving. My 13th year as pastor, our best year attendance-wise, people getting saved, and God says, I want you to leave all that. I want you to leave all that, and I want you to go to Georgia. I want you to plant a church. So me, Pastor Dan Bosworth, Pastor Anita Bosworth, and Kathy Ann, we packed up the stuff and we moved to Georgia. And we were moving along at a good pace. Dr. Carter told me he thought we had just reached the point where we were getting ready to explode because Dr. Carter attended my church plant. He also attended my church in Eastview. But he attended my church, our church plants, God's church plant. Because we took a warehouse and we turned it into a church. And then I had a major heart attack. You don't think that as I was walking around that lake, as I was facing my life, the devil wasn't saying, see? You think, what are you doing here? And I wondered what I was doing there. My human side. Satan knew how to use my human side against me. But as I walked around that lake and I quoted Psalms 23, let me tell you something. I knew that in the midst of all of this, the Lord was my shepherd. And I knew that this was guiding me. Speak the word, declare scripture, apply the word. I don't think we do that enough. Make sure you apply the word. And make sure you obey what the word says. Victory comes through obedience. Memorize the word. I do think that's important. One of my favorite scriptures, and I remember, of course, a lot of you probably have it memorized. While I was still a sinner, he died for me. While we were still sinners. Think about that. You don't think that's liberating? Study the word. Deep understanding strengthens discernment. I've had people say, I don't know what God's saying. Well, get into this, and you'll know what God's saying. This is what he's saying. And then finally, trust the word. You got to trust what it says. You can't believe the deception of the enemy. You got to trust the word. Well, that closes out our study of the armor of God. Aren't you glad God gave us the armor of God to walk through the holiness journey? Aren't you glad that the full armor of God protects you against everything the enemy throws your way? But there's one last thing he talks about, and I want to transition to that. The sword of the Spirit is powerful. But even the most skilled warrior cannot fight without communication with God. Paul concludes the armor by not talking about a piece of the armor. He's talking about the atmosphere that should surround your life. That's prayer. Do not minimize how important prayer is. Prayer is not another piece of the armor, but it is the breath and the power and the environment to fight the spiritual battle. Let me say that again. Prayer is not a piece of the armor, but is the breath, the power, and the environment of the spiritual battle. Aren't you glad in the midst of it all, you can talk to God heart to heart? I'm glad today when I find myself in the darkness, and I don't know, you know, I think I explained this the other day when I was talking about the shield of faith. Somebody asked me, well, how do you exercise your faith? It's pretty simple. And I used to preach this all the time when I was a youth leader. You got to read the word. Then you got to live the life by what the word says. And if I'm reading the word and I'm exercising faith, I'm going to walk exactly the way I feel like God wants me to walk. And if I get off the path in any way, if I'm in the word, he will show me and he will guide me back to the right path. Let me tell you something. Prayer is a powerful tool. It is the very environment you want to live your life in. Even Jesus would seclude himself and talk to the Father. Think about that. Stand with me this morning and we're going to close. Father God, I do want to thank you this morning for the armor of God. I thank you this morning for the fact that, well, first of all, I thank you for being you. Boy, I'm so glad you're God. I'm so glad today I can put my trust in you. I'm glad you never change, God. I change all the time. My environment changes all the time. Stuff changes all the time. But you never change. And you have provided for us and me the armor of God to be able to live this life and to win victoriously in this life. Because greater is he that is in me than he that is in the world. Thank you, Jesus. Amen. Find somebody this morning you haven't shaken hands with and give them a handshake.